spiritual pioneer that he was, Paul wanted to go into Asia, into a new continent, to share the good news of Christ. But the Spirit of God said no. Paul didn't like that answer. So he traveled a little farther down his journey and tried to enter Asia a different way, and the Spirit of God said no. We tend to think of Paul as always in complete agreement with God's desire. That was not always true. Paul's earnest desire was to convert his own Jewish people to the gospel, but everywhere he went, he found the answer to that ambition was no. And eventually he suffered a physical malady, what he called a thorn in the flesh. And he begged God, not once, but over and over and over, to remove that thorn in the flesh. And the answer God gave him was no. No. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made evident in your weakness. More than a few times, in answer to Paul's desire for a yes, God told him no. Now, for the last several weeks, I've been sharing with you, you may not even have noticed it, a series of messages that were designed to help us mature in personality. I talked about how the beginning of maturity is accepting responsibility for your actions. How the key to a personality is unifying all of your diverse selves into a whole by creating a central core that is dedicated to Jesus Christ. And out of that central core, all other obligations and passions flow. But this morning, I touch on the last aspect of that mature personality, accepting the fact at times, in answer to our desire for a yes, God says no. Happened to talk to my son yesterday on the phone, and our grandson, who's about a year and a half, I could hear him in the background just wailing, just crying inconsolably. And I said, "What's wrong with Cash?" My son said, "Oh, he just wants me to play with him. I don't have time to do it. He thinks the world revolves around him." I thought, yeah, we all do. At some point or another, we all do. And it's very hard for us to grapple with God's no. To grapple with the no's that answer our ambitions, we find it confining and frustrating, devastating. And some of those no's force us to look at ourselves with honesty and see some things about ourselves we do not like and have a hard time accepting. Years ago, I was down at Gulf Shores on vacation, taking my boat out into the ocean to go fishing, and I couldn't get it started. Well, I did the usual things I do to when it's cranky, and I worked on it, wouldn't crank. I spoke nicely to it, it wouldn't crank. I spoke mean to it, and it wouldn't crank. So finally, I had to paddle the boat back to the dock, put it on the trailer, go down the canal road, trying to find someone that worked on my particular motor. Finally, after many searches, I found the right person, and he wasn't there. Said he was open, but he wasn't there. Guy across the street said, "Well, he keeps strange hours. He might be here eventually." Well, he had a couple of nice chairs under a nice awning. So I sat there under that awning and stewed. Why aren't you more mechanical? Why are you such an ignoramus when it comes to fixing machines? I'm sure it's something minor. I'm sure it just takes a little tweaking, but you don't know how to do it. Why are you so stupid when it comes to fixing things mechanical? Let's face it. There are parts of all of our lives, parts of ourselves that we don't like. There are weaknesses, flaws in our character, in our talents, holes in our ambitions that frustrate us. And I'm sitting there in that chair in the shade just berating myself for being so mechanically stupid. And then suddenly, I noticed it was a beautiful day. A breeze was flowing through the canopy. And I'm sitting there with my Grinch face on, stewing. And suddenly, I just relaxed. And I allowed the breeze to come in. And as I'm doing so, I just suddenly felt all the tension flow out of my body. And I would love to say in that moment of peace, suddenly mechanical knowledge came flooding into my mind. But it did not. Instead, what flooded into my mind were a series of notions about how to create a mature personality. And as I'm sitting there berating myself, a whole sermon series floods into my mind, and suddenly I'm honest enough to say, you're not mechanical. You're never going to be mechanical. You're a danger around power tools. But let yourself out of the prison you've put yourself in. Self-growth begins with self-acceptance of the good and the bad. And when I let myself out of that prison, I understood, all right, you're not mechanical, but you do have a talent for relating life and God. And that's your gift, not tools. What came to my mind was an old MASH episode where a young man had a breakdown in the midst of a battle, and he came into the hospital believing that he was Jesus Christ. And they sent for Sidney, the psychoanalyst, the psychologist, to come interview him. And Sidney asked him a series of questions to which this young man gave thoughtful, profound answers. And then Sidney said, "Does God answer prayer?" And with tears rolling down this young man's face, he said, "Yes. But sometimes the answer is no." Paul would tell you, yeah, sometimes the answer is no. I wanted to go into Asia, God said no. I wanted to go into Asia again, God said no. I wanted to evangelize my fellow Jews, God said no. Work with the Gentiles. I wanted this thorn from my flesh removed, God said no. But what Paul found through the pilgrimage of his faith is that in response to God's series of no's, he also found yeses. Those yeses are not automatic. Those yeses only come through humility and through perseverance. But God answers no's with yeses. But we have to weather the no's. The no's can be devastating. The no's can be scarring. The no's can be imprisoning. The no's can define us if we let them. But Paul's example reminds us that in response to God's no, if we stay faithful, there will come a yes. It may not be the yes we anticipate. It may not be the yes we want. But there will be a yes. In Paul's case, having been denied twice going into Asia, he has a dream where a man from Macedonia says, "Come over and help us." Whereas the Spirit of God closed off Asia, the Spirit of God opened up the continent of Europe for Paul to introduce the gospel. In response to our no's, God eventually brings a yes if we remain open and resilient. But that means we sometimes have to accept some things about ourselves that are painful to admit. I think of a young man, always first in his class in his small town, the handsomest, the brightest, the most celebrated young man in his community, and he thought he was a preeminent intellect. So he goes off to a major college, a preeminent college, and discovers to his amazement, he's not a preeminent intellect. There are people a lot smarter, a lot more gifted, a lot more insightful than he is. And this knowledge of what he thought he was and what he really was so devastating, this man suffered a severe nervous breakdown. His healing began when he accepted the fact, all right, I'm not top-notch. All right, I'm a second-rate intellect, but God can still use me. What makes that story ironic is it's the story of Harry Emerson Fosdick, perhaps the most influential minister of the 20th century, the most powerful and respected preacher of the 20th century. He began to be used by God when he began to realize and accept what he was not, but God could use what he had. On this Thanksgiving week, all of us want to say thank you, God, for all of the yeses in our life. But will we pause to thank God for the no's? Heard an interview with a man this week, going off, been a veteran, served. He thought he was going to be a soldier career, but that wasn't what he was supposed to be. Went back to school, gained a degree, started a profession. Nope, wasn't what he was supposed to be. Went back to school, gained another profession, started another job. Nope, no fulfillment. Went back, was trained as a chef, and started cooking soup for the street people of Atlanta. And he called his mom in a state of joy and said, "Mama, after all these years, I found out what God really wants me to do is to cook soup for the homeless." Do we thank God for the no's that help us find the yes? Do we accept ourselves as we are? Not as we think we are, but in our flaws and imperfections. There's a young woman who had in 19th century what we would call today chronic fatigue syndrome. She had this activist personality, but her body could not measure up. And she was so frustrated. Her brother started this wonderful fund for the children of clergy. And she wanted so much to be active, but her health just wouldn't let her do it. And she said to a friend, "I think God is rejecting me because I am so weak." And the friend said, "You know, you just have to come to God as you are." So she went to her room and she wrote a poem for all of the weak people of the world. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." And we weak people of the world have been singing that poem of Charlotte Elliott ever since. She learned for all of life's no that God spoke to her. A yes. May our testimony be the same as we ponder our blessings this week. May we pray together. Lord, we each have our gifts and we each have our failings. But may we understand that you accept us just as we are. You have given us the Lamb of God. May we have the courage to embrace the grace you offer and the redemption you make manifest to us all. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.